heart on this highway. I have to deal with the impure in heart all the time. Amen. Don't like to deal with them in the house of God or in the church, in the sense to where we're all. I'm glad the unrighteous will not be going to heaven, in the sense that he ain't allow sin up there. That'd be a miserable place, wouldn't it? But I'm glad it's a highway to heaven. Only the pure in heart will go there. Amen. Go to your Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 22. Going to read one verse of scripture to you here this evening. And I will not preach extremely long because I want to pray in the altars here this evening. Feel it's necessary to do so. And I want to talk to you about the principles and practice of intercessory prayer. The principles and the practice of intercessory prayer. I went on the internet there and I looked. And obviously this thing is dying on me. So switch back. It turns green, it turns red. It's like a stoplight. But we'll preach from this here tonight. And yes, sir. Principles and the practice of intercessory prayer. The principles and the practice of intercessory prayer. I'm going to read one verse to you from Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse 30. And this is familiar to you. But this is what it says. Ezekiel 22 and 30. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. But I found none. Now we know in Ezekiel 22 and 30, he is referring to the fact that there was no intercessor to stand in the gap in the sense for Israel there before they are destroyed. But I want to look at this here this evening at intercessory prayer in a broader perspective of what it is to pray for each other and intercede for each other within the church. I took a few moments here this evening, and there's no way to cover everything that our church needs to pray about and pray for. But I feel like the prayer request tonight gives us a decent understanding that we have a lot that's going on in lives. I think of right now Brother Carl there in that nursing home. This week Crawford was in the hospital. Teresa's there trying to help situate things there with her stepfather. We have families that are coming around that we like to see come to church, and some that are unsaved we love to see saved. And I think about even those here in this church that are carrying burdens every day for loved ones that are sick, and even as some of you have mentioned, lost loved ones. And there's so much that we can pray about here in this church. And I tell you, if you don't have anything to pray about, then I think tonight, even after the end of this message, we can understand there's a lot to pray about right here in our midst. So I want to talk to you about intercessory prayer here this evening. This is a subject that I've talked about before, but maybe I'll highlight a few things here this evening that we have not thought about before here this evening. I read about a young pastor who took a church, and this was something I was reading about in a book one time. I forget the name of the book exactly. But one day, this young pastor was struggling very much there as a pastor here in this church. And one day, a group of men came to his house and said to him, "Brother," this is what they said to him in the book, "you are a weak pastor and you're never going to make it here," is what they told him. Now, isn't that words of encouragement? They said, "You are a weak pastor and you are not going to make it here. So we have decided that we will gather every Sunday to intercede for your success." And so this group of men took it upon themselves that they would lock themselves away in prayer before and after the services on Sunday. And within a few years, the church grew to over 1,000 members. And this is a very true account, because the minister's name, and some of you may have heard of this gentleman before, but his name was G. Wilbur Chapman, and he is considered one of America's greatest pastors. All of this came, he was a young man, but somebody decided to intercede for him. Now, all of us here tonight, we owe a greater debt than we realize to those who have prayed on our behalf. I know I've shared this with you here before, but I remember being 11 or 12 years old, and there at the foot of my bed one morning about 6 o'clock, my grandmother, who was eat up with Parkinson's and many different things going on in her body, that I remember being a young boy waking up at her. I remember my bed shaking a little bit, and it's because of the Parkinson's, and she was at the foot of my bed, and I remember her saying these very specific words, "Lord, I want Derek to serve you," and along those different lines. And who knows how much I owe to that lady, that grandmother, that saint of God in my life, for what has taken place in my life here today. Many of you can name, as Brother Neff mentioned, you know, his mother-in-law, and Sister Neff mentioned, I could go around this room, and once again, I don't mean to just
just bring things up. And I even think of how much Sister Hilda's prayed for different ones in this room and this Mother's Day, and Brother Glenn and different ones, of how those prayers are still being honored today. Just because one day in my own life, and you have to understand, just because you pass away doesn't mean that your prayers die. They go up before the throne of God. He realizes and he discerns those different things in prayers. So all of us owe a greater debt than we realize to those who have prayed on our behalf. This is a quote that I came across, and it's not a very deep quote, but nevertheless it's a beautiful quote, where it says, "More is wrought by prayer than we could ever dream of." And we have to get that in our minds as a church and as an individual. There's so much that happens through prayer, more than we can even dream of. I often wonder, say, God, and I often request, God, I wish at times that things would just be pulled back, that we could see what our prayers are doing. There's no telling how many demons or spiritual attacks have been thrown off by the prayers of a saint. There's no telling how many blessings have come into the life of a family because of the prayers of a saint within that family. Even though we all would agree with that quote, and I'll quote it again because I want to make a few comments about that. More is wrought by prayer than we could ever dream of. Now, even though we all would agree with that quote, as well as the truth that us being here is tied to people praying for us and praying on our behalf, how many of us, please hear me, how many of us systematically, seriously, committedly pray for others on a regular basis? If we agree and we believe that prayer works and praying for others work, how many of us have a time and a place in our life where we systematically, seriously, committedly pray for others? Church, we need to pray for others. Yes, we need to pray for each other. Pray for yourself, of course, but you need to take time to pray for others. There was a time I came across these questions before, and I put them down in the question form to where maybe this will be a challenge to your heart, but listen to this. Are there people who would notice a change in their lives if we stop praying for them? I want you to think about that. Are there people who would notice a change in their lives if we quit praying for them? Isn't that an amazing thing to think about? Are there preachers that would be less effective in ministry if you stop praying for them? Are there missionaries who are seeing success on the foreign field that would be less successful if you withdrew your prayers? Does my prayers affect anybody? Not do I say prayers, but do they affect anyone other than myself? Now, I could go in the Bible. I don't have time to do this here this evening. But could you imagine if there was a man like Abraham who didn't pray, or a man like Daniel who didn't pray, or a man like Paul who didn't pray? Could you imagine what it would have been like if Jesus didn't pray? We have to understand our prayers are tied to the kingdom of God and to the success of the kingdom of God. Now you say, Brother Derek, why is it that way? And I would tell you, because that's the way God has designed this. What a privilege and what an honor that your prayers and my prayers are effective in such a glorious kingdom. Now there are many different aspects of prayers. And as John Wesley would say, God will do nothing but answer to prayer. Listen to these different aspects of prayer that you'll find in the scripture in one word or another. Number one, there is adoration. There is the worship of God. We have done that even here this evening, where we have adored Him and we have praised and we have worshiped Him. Every service, every day of your life, there should be some part of your day, or some, I know at least in church, where we should come to church and an adoration should come forth from our prayers as we are worshiping and adoring the Lord of heaven. But then there is confession. We know that confession is the acknowledgement of sinfulness before God. How many's ever confessed before? Amen. Agreeing with God, confessing sins or whatever it would be. But then there is petitions. Petitions is faith claim upon God for personal needs. Now that's something that takes up a lot of our prayer lives. Amen. We go to the Lord, I need this. this, or this is going on. And that's all right. We need to continue to do so. But then, as we've done just a moment ago, there is the prayer of thanksgiving. This is the heart's expression of joyfulness in God, where we are thankful. We pray in thankfulness to God Almighty. But this brings us lastly to intercession. It's a ministry of the soul before God's throne, get this, on behalf of others. On behalf of others. Brother Derek, what is intercessory prayer? It's when I am praying on behalf of somebody else at that moment. It's not adoration. It's not confession. It's not petitions. It's not thanksgiving. But I'm standing in the gap and I am praying for somebody other than myself. Now you would have to understand, of those lists of five different prayers, and again, that's adoration, confession, petition, thanksgiving, and intercession. When we look at those five prayers, the unique prayer of this is called intercession. Intercession has been said to be more difficult than the other forms of prayers. You say, Brother Derek, why is that? Hear me today, and I wanted you to get this because it is very important for this message. It's a lot easier to worship God for yourself. It's easy to confess your sins. It's easy to ask God for your needs. It's easy to thank God for things that you need or He's done for you. But it's something when you go to God in a complete selfless matter, and it's nothing to do with you. It's nothing to do about you. You are praying for somebody else. You're not asking God so much to bless. You may be blessed through the process, but you're in that time. Intercessory prayer is more difficult in the sense that you're laying aside everything else about yourself and you're bringing up somebody else's name, somebody else's needs, somebody else's problems in your life. You are interceding for them. Now, that's a mature thing because there's times that you need strength, but you end up praying for the strength of somebody else. There's times you need a miracle, but you take time to pray for somebody else's miracle. You've got people in your family that need to be saved, but you take time to pray for somebody else's family members that are not saved. Do you see how that is a selfless act? But nevertheless, it is something that we should do as Christians. Now, I want you to get this as well. There are at least three characters, and I want you to notice this, three characters that must be involved in the ministry of intercession. Now, this is not always true of petition. This is not always true of confession, adoration, or thanksgiving. But in order to be an intercessor, there has to be three characters involved. Number one, the first character has to be the person who speaks or the person that is praying. Number one, there has to be somebody that's willing to pray. How many wants to be that person? All right. The second character in intercessory prayer is the one that you're praying to. Now, it'd be silly just to pray to nobody. Amen. If you're just interceding to nothing, to nobody, about somebody, I'm already confused. There has to be two people. Has to be the one that's willing to pray. But then there has to be somebody that you're praying to. And who are we praying to? The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the great God of heaven that can't lie. He is good. He is merciful. He is righteous. He is holy. He is a righteous and a good judge. He'll always do everything just right at the right time, at the right moment. That's who we are praying to. But thirdly, there is the one that is spoken for that you're praying for. So number one, there's the one that is praying. Number two, there's the one that you're praying to. And number three, there is the one that you are praying for. All three characters must be involved in intercessory prayer. Let me give you an example. I choose to pray to God for Brother Shane. That's intercessory prayer. I choose, and please do this week. I choose to pray to God for Brother Carl and Sister Parnell. I choose to pray to God for Crawford. I choose to pray to God for Brother Fred. I could go around the room in situations, and that's what intercessory prayer is. There's a person praying. There's the one we're praying to. But then there's the individual that we are praying for that may not be at the place that they can pray themselves. Their faith may be weak at the moment. They may not even be able to understand all what's going on. You may not understand what's going on, but somebody taking on that burden upon themselves, taking that time, praying to God Almighty for an individual is intercessory prayer. How many ever gets encouraged if somebody looks at you and says, I'm praying for you, and they mean it? I mean, I find a little joy in that. Every now and then I'll wake up some mornings and my phone will make a noise. I'll go over there and look at it. And somebody from across the country will say, "Brother Derek, praying for you this morning." It just makes me feel good. I'm like, "Well, thank you, Lord. I'm glad somebody's thinking about me." I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, intercessory prayer in our churches are so needful. It's all right to let somebody know you're praying for them. It's all right to pray for somebody. It's all right to send them a card or a text or call them or stop by and tell them, "Guess what? Thinking about you, I'm praying for you today," because we need to be intercessors. Not only are there three characters that are involved, but three things also must be presupposed in intercessory prayer. Number one, and please follow me, I don't want to lose you. Number one, there has to be the need for the one spoken for. The need for the one you're praying for. Let me give you another example. Say I decide to pray for Brother Carl right now. I'm praying that God would touch his body. There's a need in the situation. So not only am I praying to God for Brother Carl, but I'm praying to God for Brother Carl's need. There's something there that I'm praying about, and I can be very specific. There's the need for the one you're praying for. But number two, hear this. There has to be the power of the one spoken to. When I'm interceding, I have the need of somebody on my heart. But I've got to take it to somebody that I feel that can do something about it. Now, it wouldn't do me so much good. I need $50 million. From what I understand, I would probably pass out. If I came up to somebody in this room and you said, "Oh, I got $50 million in the bank account." I would say, "Praise the Lord. That's amazing. You know, no wonder you ain't told nobody. You know, it's amazing." But you know, I wouldn't dare come to Brother Shane in all seriousness. "Brother Shane, I need $5 million. Why? "Well, I'm trying to think why I would need $5 million. He'd probably look at me and laugh. I'm in a bind. I think it's safe to say, Brother Shane, I couldn't come to you for $5,000 right now. Is that all right? Don't come to me either. All right. Where would I tell you to go? Go somewhere that's got the money. Go to a bank. Go to a place that I know has some resources. But understand this. There's things I could come to you about. There's needs in my life or needs in somebody else's life that you are bankrupt to meet that need. You just don't have it. You just can't do it. But I guess what? There's the need that I have on behalf of somebody. But number two, there's the power of the one that I'm praying to. And the one that I'm praying to is God. And he has all power and all ability. Do you need a miracle? No problem for him. Do you need a touch in your body? No problem for him. Do you have financial things that God can work out in your life? If you're a good steward, that's no problem for him. There's so much that he can do. So there's the need, but then there's the power of the one I'm praying to. But third, there has to be contact between the both parties. The need, the powerful God of heaven. This is where the intercessor steps in and holds the hand of the need and the hand of the powerful one. And you're saying, "God, I know you can meet this need. God, I know you have the ability." There's contact between both parties on the one who is speaking. This is the one that is standing in the gap. The one that takes it upon themselves to take the need of one and lays hold of the power of the God of heaven. And you stand there as a conduit and say, "God, I know you can do it. I know you can do it. I know you can do it." That's what intercessory prayer is. But we don't do it enough. I know we do it. I believe you pray for one another. But I'm talking about you can really lay hold of the need and lay hold of God and really intercede. Sister Juanita, that's what's happened this week, sis, when God speaks to you. What's happening? "My children, God, you're able. Here's a word. Live on it." There's been times in my life I reach down at the needs of something for somebody else. And I lay hold of God and I say, "God," and I can tell that God is flowing and working through me in intercessory prayer. There has to be this in every church, in every home, in every life. Hudson Taylor would say, we must learn to move man through God by prayer and no other way. In our society, if we're not careful, we do so much talking about people and situations that we have no control over, neglect prayer because people don't really believe it. It's easy for you to talk about it. But to believe God and to be an intercessor is something else. We turn to politics because people don't believe God. They don't believe it truly in their heart. Where man believes in prayer, there will be prayer, one writer said. When a man really believes in prayer, there will be prayer. He's saying this, if you believe in prayer, you're going to pray. Don't tell me you believe in prayer and don't pray. Isn't that a little convicting? Let us not talk about how great our God is and how much He can do and don't really pray for Him to do anything. God can do great things. If we're not careful, we will turn to programs, plans, and pragmatism upon which God will build no lasting work in our churches. We've got to believe in prayer. Know that it works. Brother Derek, what's the answer for the future of this church? A praying church. What is the answer for lost loved ones? Pray for them. What is the answer for the sick? Pray for them. We can be the church we need to be through prayer. Now there's four principles of intercessory prayer we'll cover, and then we're going to intercede. We're going to pray tonight. Number one, intercession rests upon a right relationship with God. A man or a woman must be in right relationship with God. Somebody striving to do His will if they're going to be an intercessor. Don't say you're an intercessor and you live like the devil. You're not. Don't say you're an intercessor and you harbor and love your sin. You are not. A true intercessor is somebody like Abraham in Genesis chapter 18. God stops by his tent and says, Abraham, I'm going to inspect the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah and judge them. But this is what God says. He said he stopped by Abraham's tent because I know Abraham, and one day he's going to raise up a mighty nation. I know that he will pray. Church, the Spirit touches our heart to pray. You ever had the Lord motivate? You just feel to pray. I want to encourage you with something here. When you feel like the Holy Ghost is calling you to prayer, go pray. You may not feel that same Spirit in 30 minutes. You say, is God not good? No, God's there. But at that moment, God is trying to stir your heart to prayer. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Pray at that moment when He's stirring your heart. It's not because He's a bored person up there in heaven. No, there might be at that moment, there may be somebody about to die, somebody that you're about to bridge that gap for. At that moment, pray for them as you feel the burden. So you must be in a right relationship. Somebody would say, well, I pray for others or I want to be an intercessor. But remember, if you're going to do so, you've got to have a proper relationship with God. God knows you and He knows your prayer life. Number two, God's willingness to be approached. God has taken the initiative to come to where we were, to send the Spirit of God. He wants to be approached. It's strange to us that God requires intercessory prayer as a necessary part of His providence. I mean, God's God. He's sovereign. Why not just do it, Lord? Why not do it? Why do you need us to pray? Again, because this is the way that God has chosen to do it. Aren't you glad there's a man like Daniel that will pray? And unbeknownst to him, there's angels fighting up in heaven. And he's waiting for a message, and he's waiting for this. And I could go on. Aren't you glad men like Daniel would pray? I could go on and name all these different ones. Some have said things like this. What does it matter if I pray or not? God is going to do what He wants to do. No, sir. That's not a scriptural mindset. That's not how God in His wisdom has designed it. God places burdens on certain men and women and allows them to be a part of His divine providence. What an honor it is that God has chosen us to be intercessors. I don't think we get this sometimes. It's an honor that if God comes to you and takes the need of somebody and places that on your heart, it allows you to come into the throne room of grace to make petitions to Him on behalf of somebody else and say, God has designed it this way. What a blessing that is. What a blessing. So God wants to be approached. And our third point is this: intercession must be made in light of God's character. Don't intercede for somebody to do a sinful thing. All right? Don't pray for somebody to be blessed in their sins. This is, you ever heard, you know, that tough love mentality where God, whatever it takes to get their attention? That's tough, isn't it? When it's your brothers, siblings, parents, or children, Lord, whatever it takes. God can do whatever it takes. God can get their attention. But sometimes if we're not careful, we can harbor something or ask God almost, Lord, bless so-and-so in their, and even though you wouldn't say it like this, bless them in their sins. But if God blessed them in a certain magnitude, a certain level, it would be blessing them in their rebellion. And God's not about that. Praying that their soul would get right with God and that everything else would work around that, because that's more important than anything. Has to be prayed in light of God's character. God is holy. God demands justice. But also you can pray in mercy and intercede in mercy. I can pray for my lost brothers or lost loved ones and say, God, you're holy. They're not. God, you can't bless them like that. But I can pray this, Lord, let your mercy shine upon them until they make that decision. Tug at their hearts. You got to pray in light of his character. And lastly here, number four, I ain't going to be much longer. Intercessory prayer requires persistence. Pray for somebody, but lay hold of God. Brother Timmy Edwards, I need to get him here to preach. He goes to Brother Irvin's church and wonderful minister for many years. He's just his country. From the mountains of Virginia, I'm telling you, he is a country preacher. And I love him to death. But he was on drugs for many years as a young man. And he was way out in drugs, way out there. But he had a praying mama, a persistent praying mother. He said he would come home 3 a.m. He said he could hear the prayers of his mother echoing through the house at 3 a.m. He said they'd lock the doors and wouldn't let him in. So he'd go upstairs and he'd open the window and his mom would be sitting right there, tears running down her face, and said, I've been praying for you all night, son. He said it was the prayers of his mother, the persistent prayers of his mother, that he is the man that he is today, serving the Lord, preaching the gospel. We have to be persistent in our prayers. We have to be somebody that's taking the need, laying hold of the power of God, and standing there persistently asking God to meet the need and to fulfill his will. How much did Israel owe to men like Moses, Elijah, Samuel, Ezra, Nehemiah? We see Christ persistently praying for the disciples and the church praying for Peter in Acts chapter 12 while he is in prison. What I'm trying to tell you is this: intercession works. Intercession works. I was reading recently, and I'm going to share this with you, and my wife can come to the piano in just a moment. I was reading recently a book called Being a Pastor. And I wouldn't expect too many of you to read that book, even though it is a very good book. But I want to read a paragraph from this book to you, and I thought it was so well said. It touched my heart as a pastor. But as I was praying about this message, intercessory prayer is not just for a pastor. It's for you as well. It's for you as well. The writer says this: the principal part of pastoral care is unseen by those who benefit from it, since it is exercised in secret. Called to be the shepherds as well as teachers, we must be intercessors for the members of Christ's flock entrusted to us. Prayer is one way in which we keep watch over the spiritual well-being of the lambs and the sheep of the flock. If no one else prays for them, we must. There's people in your life that if you don't pray for them, nobody else will. I have a feeling that my children, there probably ain't going to be too many people that pray for my children quite like I need to pray for my children. I know there's grandparents and different ones that are involved. He goes on to say, it is significant that the ministry of intercession is the one ministry that our Lord continues in heaven right now on our behalf. Jesus is intercessing right now. The Spirit's intercessing. You see how vital this is. There's a ministry in heaven right now. Jesus is making intercession for the saints. The Spirit is making intercession for us. It's still a working in the great Godhead. We are never nearer to His heart than when we bear up in our prayers the concern and the well-being of others. You want to be more like Jesus? Have a burden for somebody else. Isn't this well said? Also, Ephesians 6 and 8 says, intercession is to be made for all saints. He goes on to say this in his writing. All saints are to be prayed for, since all Christians in this world are in a battle without exception. Some require daily prayer because of crisis, and all have a call upon at different times regular prayers throughout our ministry. We must not pray for people only when they are sick. I like when he said this. He said, we're not only to pray for people when they're sick. We can pray and ask God for a burden for each other all throughout our lives. Listen to what he goes on to quote Charles Spurgeon about this. He said, we must not pray for people only when they are sick and ill. Spurgeon said this, when a man is upstairs in bed and cannot do any hurt, you pray for him. But when he is downstairs and can do no end of mischief, you do not pray for him. Is this wise and prudent? What he's saying is, there's somebody upstairs on a sick bed, and we say, oh, we need to pray for them. But then they go out in the streets and they live everyday life, and we don't pray for them nearly as much. But I would say to you, there's just as much danger out there on the streets, more danger, and going about day from day than it is for somebody to be bedridden at that moment. Should you pray for both? Of course. Of course you should. As my wife comes to the piano here this evening. So again, as I was thinking about this, as you heard the prayer request tonight, we've got a lot that's going on. We have a lot that is going on. Stand to your feet this evening. We have a lot. Matter of fact, as I was sitting there writing some things down, I said, I better stop writing because I wouldn't want to leave out a specific need of somebody and they think I overlooked them. But we have so many needs. I need to do this probably. I haven't counted people in the church. I probably should. I start doing that sometimes, and I try to wait them up here, and I say, I'm a worship Lord. I ain't counting nobody. But I've never really taken time to count people. I probably know I should, you know, for organization purposes. But it's amazing in the congregation right here in a room this side. I don't know how many's in here. It's not a whole lot of us. But how many needs are in this room right now? I mean, things that are close to our hearts. We need to hold up men like Brother Carl right now, as many of you have went by and seen him and having a difficult time. But is there anybody in this church that said, I'll take the needs of Brother Carl and I'll lay hold of the hand of God and I'm going to pray. And while you're doing that, take hold of Sister Parnell's hand and her needs. And God, you see what I'm saying? I could continue to go around this room. Pray for Sister Sharon. Amen. I see new families coming around on Sunday mornings. We see those families and take hold of their life and lay hold of God and pray for them. I could go around this room and begin to name needs. I'm not going to do that. Lost loved ones, sicknesses. And if you don't mind every now and then, I know you do, can you lay hold of your pastor and hold of God? So Lord, help him as well. I know you do. I feel your prayers. I when I mean that, I feel your prayers. You said, Brother Derek, how can you feel our prayers? It shows in your love and your character towards me. You treat me wonderfully, and I appreciate that. That's because I can tell you pray for me. Thank you. But also, as I stand up here, there's times I look at all the needs as a pastor. And as I'm reading a book about being a pastor, I'm like, man, it's so true. Get your membership list out. Get your people that come around and just start reading over that and say, my, there's so much going on. It's too much for one man. But it's not no problem for a big God that can do a lot of things. Pray for your children. Pray for all these different needs. What I want to do tonight in these altars, I want you to intercede for somebody. That's what I want to do. I know there's some urgent needs in our church. Take those urgent needs with you to prayer. And ask God to move on the behalf of all these different needs. And I really do believe that if we continue and if we step up our intercessory prayer, God can do more right here in our midst. Amen. Find you a place to pray here this evening. Pray for somebody. Take him to the Lord in prayer and ask God to touch him. Oh God, do it, Lord Jesus.